We're joined now on the phone by Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh. PublicPolicyPolling.com is their website, and you can find them on social media at PPP Polls. New numbers in from a new survey of North Carolina voters. So excited to talk about where things stand heading into the 2020 election. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So before we talk about the numbers from the North Carolina survey, you were up in Iowa last week at the Iowa State Fair, which was talking earlier this hour. It doesn't usually sound like it has a lot to do with politics, but the year before a presidential election, every single Democratic primary candidate is going to be at Iowa shaking hands. So what was the experience like?
Well, it's pretty crazy being in Des Moines at the time of the state fair because you really just run into political candidates everywhere, whether you're trying to or not, really from the moment we arrived in Iowa to the moment we left. So one particularly funny experience was that Amy Klobuchar was at our hotel bar on Friday night bemoaning the fact that she was going to have to pretend that the Iowa State Fair was as good as the Minnesota State Fair. She clearly did not think she was going to agree with that premise and was already sort of not looking forward to dealing with that. So that was sort of a funny experience. Tim Ryan, the congressman from Ohio, who's really one of the lowest tier candidates, was on our flight from Des Moines to Detroit to connect back to Raleigh. And I figured that he was flying back home to Ohio, but he was actually flying from Detroit then on to South Carolina. And it was him, his wife, his very cute son, and one staff person. So that definitely showed you sort of the less glamorous side of running for president, that you may be flying commercial in coach, making connections with only one person going along with you on the work side. So there were just a lot of little things like that. We went over to visit the Iowa State Capitol, really just because we wanted to see what it was like. People who work in politics like state capitals, that sort of thing. And who was there but Washington Governor Jay Inslee? And he wasn't there for any sort of political purpose. He was there for the same reason we were, because he's a political junkie and he likes to see state capitals. So we saw Jay Inslee standing in the middle of the Iowa State Capitol with his iPhone, taking pictures of the dome of the Iowa State Capitol for his own edification. So candidates everywhere, and you really sort of, I guess, get to see the normal people side of them at this kind of time.
That's cool. Did you get to talk to any of them, meet any of them? Did anyone make any more of an impression on you than they already had?
One thing that was really interesting was we were actually in the audience when Joe Biden had his gaffe last week where he said that poor kids were just as smart as white kids. Mm. And, you know, that was sort of his bad story of the weekend. But I actually came across, even though that happened when we were there, more impressed with Biden and his ability to deal with this campaign than I expected to be. We saw him speaking at a meeting of the Asian Latino Coalition of Iowa, and Biden spoke for almost 2 hours. So there's all this question about Biden's stamina, but he really spoke for 2 hours and was pretty on the mark for most of that time. I'll be honest, nobody who I was sitting around actually noticed his gaffe when he said it, because it was just such a small moment in the span of 2 hours. So I think it just sort of goes to show that obviously if you're talking for 2 hours, you can say something stupid and get yourself in trouble. But I think that people who are actually seeing Biden face-to-face maybe are coming away with a better impression and sort of more confident in his fitness to be able to run this sort of campaign than if you're just following the campaign in the media and you just see, oh, Biden said something dumb again. He really sort of came across better in person than the caricature that he ends up with in the public, because he does have that one moment where he says something that he shouldn't have said.
Have there been other, and let me go back and rephrase, because I'm sure there have been other, which other candidates have had that kind of disconnect between the media portrayal of them and who they actually are in person, and which narrative wins out typically?
Well, I think whatever the sort of narrative that ends up on cable news is the narrative that wins out? And that's an interesting question. I can't think of someone else who I've personally sort of observed this kind of dichotomy with. But I just think that, you know, Biden maybe has a little bit more of a chance to hold up than I had felt like he might. Ran into Marianne Williamson in the hotel. She was weird. Who would have thought? But something that was a little bit of a surprise was that she actually had the rudest staff of anybody who we dealt with, which I think you would not have really expected from the sort of Zen candidate. One funny moment that I had at the Iowa State Fair was we were in line to get our pork chop on a stick, which is sort of the signature item of the Iowa State Fair. And I should note, in case anybody ever goes, that the pork chop on a stick is not actually on a stick. The stick is the bone of the pork chop.
Oh.
That is your stick for the pork chop on a stick. Anyway, I was just enjoying my pork chop on a stick, and all of a sudden this huge wave of people comes towards me, and it's Kamala Harris eating her pork chop on a stick with about 100 photographers capturing every moment of her eating a pork chop on a stick. And a couple of people came up to her. So she ended up right next to me. I ended up right next to Kamala Harris while she was eating her, while we were both enjoying our pork chop on a stick. Some people actually came up to her and asked to take a picture with her, and she was like, "Oh, I don't know if I should take a picture with you all while I'm eating my pork chop on a stick," but she rolled with it. So, you know, she clearly was sort of in the spirit of the fair. I wasn't there the next day when Bernie Sanders came, but heard that he was not into interacting with the public while he was going around the fair. So that was sort of interesting. And maybe a reflection of that, I do have some polling related to the Iowa State Fair, although it is certainly not scientific.
Right.
They do a poll at the Iowa State Fair where you get to declare who you support for president. There's a bunch of jars, and they give you a corn kernel, and you can put the corn kernel in the jar for who you support. So it's the corn kernel poll. I voted twice in the corn kernel poll, so that goes to show that it's not a scientific poll. Although I voted for two different people, the two corn kernels I had, so I was not stuffing it for someone.
All right,
but
all right.
Anyway, right now Joe Biden leads the corn kernel poll with 23%. Pete Buttigieg is second at 17%. Elizabeth Warren is third at 16%. Kamala Harris is fourth at 11%. And Bernie Sanders rounds out the top five at 8%. That actually is relatively close to how the scientific polling in Iowa is playing out. So we may get displaced by corn kernels. I don't know.
I love how this is how we choose presidential candidates with all of these appearances at state fairs and pork chops on a stick and all this. Is this entirely due to Andrew Jackson, or are there others along the line of American history who made this happen?
I don't know. It's a pretty absurd system, but it is kind of fun, and I wish we could make the North Carolina State Fair something that all the candidates had to come to. If we could just have a cavalcade of them having to show up at these fairs, I'd like to see them checking out the pig races and stuff. But I will say, I did not, even though I had all these personal interactions with the candidates in Iowa, it did not change my mind about who I would vote for if the election was today. So I would be interested to know how many people there are who are actual Iowa voters who are like me, who sort of enjoy all the spectacle, but at the end of the day, the spectacle doesn't have a whole lot of impact on their voting preferences.
We're speaking with Tom Jensen. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website for more numbers. You can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. So let's take it back to North Carolina. We got a new survey out this week with some numbers just on approval ratings, mainly for the kind of leading figures in North Carolina national politics. Donald Trump, 45% approval rating, 52% disapproval. Roy Cooper, 48% approval rating, 33% disapproval. And that sounds pretty similar to kind of the results of previous surveys from North Carolina, right?
Yeah, things don't change a whole lot. Donald Trump continues to be unpopular, as you note, with the 45 approval to 52% disapproval. What's really hurting him is his numbers with independent voters.
Mm-hmm.
He's at minus 23 net approval with independents, 36% approved, 59% disapprove. So he's sort of in the tank because of that. Roy Cooper, on the other hand, as you note, overall 48 approve, 33 disapprove. What I think is most remarkable with his numbers is that he has a 29% approval rating with Republicans. We've talked a lot about how polarized the state is along political lines and how unopen Democrats and Republicans are to sort of supporting politicians across the aisle. But Cooper's doing pretty well with Republicans right now. That's holding up his numbers overall. I was sort of curious where his approval numbers would be in the context of the current budget impasse and the General Assembly and whether that might be hurting him at all, but certainly does not seem to be taking any sort of toll on his approval numbers.
And looking ahead to the 2020 presidential race, it was a really close in North Carolina in 2016 and certainly going to be almost certainly again in 2020. Donald Trump won on Election Day. Election Day of 2016 happened to fall on a day when Donald Trump's approval rating was kind of peaking and he was having a better week than he had had previously just because James Comey came out with a statement about Hillary Clinton and a couple of other things had been in the news. And all of this kind of makes me think that Donald Trump only wins in 2020 if he either hangs on to literally every single voter that he had in 2016 or if he's able to pick up people who didn't vote for him last time. And I can't really imagine that many people who didn't vote for him last time deciding now that they're going to support him in 2020. So it's all about maintaining the voters that he had. Am I right in that? And how is that going? Are there Trump voters who are dropping away from supporting Trump? Are there Clinton voters who are falling into his camp?
As you know, most people aren't changing their minds, but the extent to which people are changing their minds is a problem for Trump. He only has 4% approval from people who voted for Hillary Clinton, and he has 9% disapproval from people who voted for him. So over 90% of people who voted for Trump approve of him, over 90% of people who voted for Clinton disapprove of him, but there's about twice as much movement against him within those people who voted for one of the major party candidates in 2016 than there is for him. And then the other interesting thing to note is we always provide a breakdown on people who either voted for a third party candidate in 2016 or say that they didn't vote in the election at all. And Trump tends to have a terrible approval with those voters. Right now he has a 20% approval, 73% disapproval with people who didn't vote for either Clinton or Trump in 2016. And this is what often happens is there's always a segment of voters who dislike everyone, and they tend to vote for whoever's out of power. Mm-hmm. So in 2016, the voters who didn't like anyone tended to vote more for Trump. I think this time around, the people who don't like anyone are more likely to vote against Trump. And if Trump is going to be reelected, it's going to be because somehow Democrats end up with a really weak candidate and refuse to unify around that person.
Again, publicpolicypolling.com for more numbers nationally and statewide. Find them on social media at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.